goes. Lisa Stolevi is the European civil servant since 1994. She is head of unit in charge of what we initiated, the Forward Studies Unit, La Cellule de Prospective. I think it's better in French than in English, sometimes. It may have Cellule de Prospective. Like, you know, it's not only about the semantology, we speak about business, and I am always inspired by the French word in les grappes industrielles. I may say it in Italy, where the grappes have some sentence and make sense. So, she initiated, followed the current political process and reflection on multilevel governance, as a matter of fact. She is Doctor of European Law and inter alia author of a thesis of the European Council published at the Edition PIF in France. So, Mrs. Storin, dear Beatrice, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a real pleasure to be at the premise of the famous University of Padua with such a high quality academic staff and students' body. Over the year, the Committee of the Regions and the Forward Studies Unit has established a fruitful cooperation with the University of Padua, and most notably, we have been actively cooperating in the field of European governance with the Committee of the Regions atelier and conferences. And when we produce our white paper on multilevel governance and the public consultation process, political documents have been realized with the active and dedicated participation of several distinguished academics from the University of Padua. And I would like sincerely thank Mr. Beckmann, Mr. Papiska, and Mr. Masha for their contribution and for the invitation today. E' il mio piacere di essere in Padova e di avere l'opportunità di discutere con voi di questa questione. The topic, the regional dimension of educational and intercultural practice, could be approached in a number of ways and from different perspectives, and attribute to the constructive contribution on the previous speakers to give a concrete application of what does it mean. And from the Committee of the Region perspective, I would like to concentrate my purpose on the crucial issue how to develop a culture of dialogue and an education to intercultural dialogue, which results in the emergence of the new paradigm that we have mentioned since yesterday several times, multilevel governance, which implies a proper involvement of local and regional authority to this objective. And managing Europe's increasing cultural diversity in an open and independent world is a priority, but it's also a challenge for local and regional authorities. I suggest to divide my talk into three parts. In the first part, I look at three paradoxes. The second part will deal with three main concepts from the Committee of the Regions. And in the final part, I like to say something about three opportunities for the future. I like to start now by sharing three paradoxes. Intercultural dialogue is a transversal component for each strategy and European policy, but suffers of a lack of visibility. Intercultural dialogue preserves and enhances the diversity in Europe, but the European process encourages the convergence, economical, social. Intercultural dialogue cannot be prescribed by law, but need a strong enforcement and monitoring of fundamental rights, human, civic, economic, social, and cultural rights. These three paradoxes confirm that intercultural dialogue is a transversal issue, which is a part of a complex system of governance based on diversity, equality, and participation. This would also imply the introduction of mechanisms to facilitate cooperation between different levels of governments and actors. Intercultural dialogue and multilevel governance contribute to the same European equation, which is the European motto, united in diversity. This motto is a substantial advancement in the common understanding of our European cultural heritage and civilization, but must lead to the qualitative improvements in the governance system. Let's turn now to the three main concerns for the Committee of the Region perspective on priority objectives of regional and local authority. First of all, the culture of citizenship. It is the responsibility of all levels of government to contribute to build a culture of rights by raising citizen awareness to their rights. What does it mean? Active citizenship. It is necessary to promote direct civic participation with the aim of making an effective addition to the traditional institutional and representative mechanism of democracy. It's also social citizenship. Initiatives to promote social citizenship need to be handled at European level to serve our goal of our model, the marché social, économie sociale, which is now the main goal of the European Union. And it also means to have specific measures to access to cross-border e-skills and to facilitate the trans-border cooperation and the welfare new European model. The civic citizenship, which implies facilitation of the free movement of the EU citizenship. Of course, political citizenship, which is the right to complete freedom of movement in the political process, promoting the effective exercising of the right conferred upon European citizens to participate in municipal elections in the member states in which they are resident and in the European election, for example. It's not easy to implement this new right, and it's a major issue for the local regional authority. Administrative citizenship, the necessity to act at local and regional levels with measures to cut red tape that make European citizenship rights a reality, in particular the freedom of movement, the four, and maybe I hope the five freedoms. And also in the area of cross-border cooperation. In that respect, it's fundamental to support the various forms of territorial cooperation to implement projects and measures aimed at making European citizenship a reality. And training in European citizenship. It's been inclusion of European citizenship in education and school programs, and also for adults, the promotion of measures to inform and educate migrants who plan to acquire citizenship of a member state, and the promotion of volunteering. We are now this year in the European Year of Volunteering, which is for the local regional authority a transcultural facilitator. That turns us to the so-called knowledge-based society through a strategic framework for European cooperation in education and training, which means for local and regional authority, first of all, combating functional illiteracy. The COR, for example, calls for a European definition of illiteracy, integrating the drive to combat this functional problem among the horizontal objectives of the strategy EU 2020 and the strategy guidelines governing the European Social Fund. It's also promoting a European heritage label and stimulating the cultural and creative industry, which generates multidisciplinary and multicultural solutions. It's also creating a vibrant European research area, region and cities through supportive programming, structural and legislative framework conditions in the context in their research policy can make a significant contribution to the creation of this new sphere of knowledge. Local and regional authorities are in favor of the realization of regional, national and EU research program and priorities. However, bear in mind the subsidiarity principle. Due to the responsibility of local and regional authority, they reject centralized research and education plan at European level. And also, the local regional authority encouraging the multi-layer approach and explore new ways of cooperation between public institutions and the private sector in order to support new drivers of innovation in their regions. It's also, of course, promoting multilingualism through educational and cultural policies. And emphasizing a lifelong learning strategy, which is a key element to face globalization. I will conclude this item with a question that knowledge triangle is a cornerstone of economical, social, and territorial cohesion. It's also essential to develop the leverage effect of the single market. In the new multicultural context, citizenship must no longer be seen only in terms of protecting its identity and belonging, but also as a point of integration and social inclusion. Let's turn now to the Partnership for Democracy and Shared Prosperity. This new approach represents a fundamental step change in the EU's relationship with its neighbor. Based on a shared commitment to democracy, human rights, social justice, good governance, and the rule of law. This new approach is the European reply to support change in the southern Mediterranean countries. It's also an adaptation of the EU neighborhood policy to try to get an incentive-based approach. In that context, I would like to explain the local and regional dimension of the European neighborhood policy and the role of the Committee of the Regions as an active and constructive player in monitoring and influencing this policy. The CEREC closely follows the activity of the European of the Union for the Mediterranean through the work of the Political Assembly, which is the Euro-Mediterranean Regional and Local Assembly, ARLEM, which has been granted observer status by the Union for the Mediterranean. The institutionalization of the local and regional dimension of the Eastern Partnership will be launched this year, with a standing conference of regional and local authority for the Eastern Partnership, the CORLEP, that has been put forward by the Committee of the Region in response to the European Commission invitation to establish some form of local and regional assembly for Eastern Europe and the South Caucasus as an institutional platform for regular dialogue and cooperation between local and regional authorities from the EU and its partner country. The Committee of the Region is also already involved in the multilateral dimension of the Eastern Partnership through its participation in two permanent platforms where he has permanent membership, namely the platform on democracy, good governance and stability, and the platform on contact between people. The platform one, on democracy, good governance and stability, has identified as key area of cooperation the issue of the election, legislation, code of practice, media voters' participation, and stimulate exchange of best practice through seminar and training session. The platform four, contact between people, dedicates an item such as education and research. For example, for research, the European Digital Agenda, Higher Education Commission initiative in relation to the Bologna process, and the mobility through the EU 2020 flagship initiative, and above all, youth on the move. You can see our internal and external dimension of the EU agenda is interacting, which is also a lesson learned from the last years, and how the capacity building is a key of success for the EU strategy and policy. The external pressure of the European Union on the European Union will increase in this decade. Reinforced intercultural dialogue in the EU labor policy is crucial. The CEREC aim is to act as a catalyst for this. In that perspective, in particular, on tangible issues like educational and cultural exchange, particularly with regard to minorities, in terms of fostering the positive benefits of multilingualism and multiculturalism. I will conclude my intervention with three opportunities for the future. First of all, to promote the intercultural citizenship conditionality in the European strategy and policy. The recent report of the European Commission on the midterm evolution of the Europe for Citizens programme suggests in particular the need for strengthening the policy impact of the programme for the next programmation. This therefore implies for the European Commission to be more closely linked to the key topics of the EU agenda. It needs to be coherent with and improving European governance and to exploit synergy with other EU programs and policies. No sphere should be exempt from engaging an intercultural dialogue. Intercultural dialogue is a key element of the European value. Secondly, the European Citizenship Initiative, which gives the opportunity for the citizens to impulse a bottom-up approach in the legislation process. Considering the legal basis required for the relevance of this new tool, launching a proposal linked to intercultural dialogue in order, for example, to reinforce involvement of the European Union for the youth and, above all, for the participation of the youth in the European debate could be really appropriate. And finally, the new neighbourhood policy. The European Commission is currently initiating a reflection on the future implementation of this policy as conduct consultation to this end inside the Union and which is partners. And the European Neighbourhood Policy Strategic Review will determine how the policy should evolve in the short and middle term. Intercultural dialogue is a European public good. Preserving and promoting him is crucial in order to achieve an inclusive society in the European Union and to have the capacity to face the faster transforming society we have mentioned this morning. In our open society, the EU governance, e-governance, e-participation with new media and networks, and for example social networks, will necessarily change the conception, perception and management of the intercultural dialogue. The local and regional authorities are perfectly aware of this necessity to adapt their approach in their perspective. That brings me to the end of my presentation. And if Brussels is the heart of Europe and somehow of the multi-level governance with the Committee of the Region, I can say that Padova is an undeniable part of the soul of Europe. This city is really the right place to develop the European soul and identity. And I will, another time, thanks Mr. Pikmas, Papiska, Meshka for the invitation. I will finish my presentation with three suggestions. Enjoy, for the students, enjoy your stay in Padova. You must know how this place is unique in Europe, and Italy remains an academic territory where high and deep reflection in Europe on values, these values, are developing. It's an heritage to preserve and to develop. Second suggestion, take advantage of this opportunity to gain experience with this interdisciplinary approach on human rights, governance, citizenship, and policy-making process. Generally speaking, the European Union is such a political balance exercise, right, and unfortunately too often to react, that we need a place for a reflection about our acquis and common understanding. And finally, be proud to be European. It's your identity, it's our human capital. And we are, of course, the old world, but the new world needs also Europe to face the post-imperialism in the context of globalization. Thank you for your attention.